Thanks for listening to The Drive on Demand, presented by Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment.
Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766.
Or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer of the Denver Broncos. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus, D-Mac, and Nick Ferguson.
Nick, I don't know about you, but when I was a player, when we got to the bye week, I could not get any further removed from football. I mean, when it was Sunday, there is no chance you could even pay me to watch football on TV. I was checked out. I was, I don't know, mentally, I was in my Billy Madison happy place, and it did not involve watching football on TV. Did you watch football during your break?
Yeah, man. I couldn't get away from it because I wanted to watch other teams that I play for to see how well they were doing.
Without you? Yeah. Are they really winning games without me? No way can they win that game.
And part of you is just kind of wishing that they were not doing well so you can actually sit back and say, see, yeah, one in your eye, you should have kept me on your team. But I watch because I'm a fan of the game, but I also want to see what next week's opponent, what are they doing? What are they playing? That's why, you know, I'm going to watch Minnesota's game against Dallas.
Oh, yeah, I'd watch that on Monday when I got back to work.
Yeah.
I wouldn't watch it on Sunday. I'd watch it on the iPad when I got back to work that week.
No, I want to get it, you know, advanced scouting. Get an opportunity to look at these guys before the coaches get a chance to break them down. Maybe there's certain things that I can pick up on that the coaches may not. Because I was big as far as stopping the run game. I want to see, well, which team, you know, what guy they run behind the most, who pulls. Who's the back who's going to get the bulk of the carries? I wanted to know those type of things to give me a heads up in my preparation for the week.
But see, when I would watch football as a player, it would just make me nervous. I'd be watching the game and I'd be watching DeMarcus Ware go up against some chump tackle that he got 12 sacks on, and he made that guy lose his job and his family had to move and everybody was embarrassed and they were talking about his name in the paper. And I was thinking to myself, man, I can't block that dude.
Something's going to happen to me?
Yeah, I can't block that dude. I got to block him next week. No, I'm not going to watch that preemptively. I don't need that stress in my life.
Yeah, but you want to see what the other guy didn't do well so you can incorporate that in your game. Maybe you need to cut him more. I don't know. Maybe you need to grab him and hold because we know offensive linemen hold.
I do that on Monday when I got back to work.
When
I got paid to be stressed out, that's when I'd go back and do that. Not when I'm on my time. My time, I'm not going to let you make me stressed.
No, you don't necessarily have to be stressed. It's a moment where you can pick up on some nuances of the opponent before the coaches give you the game plan. Yeah. That's all.
Well, Broncos are on a bye week this weekend in case you are living under a rock and you were going to turn on your TV this weekend to try to catch the game. So there's no Broncos game to watch as a fan, but there's some interesting games. There's some really good matchups this weekend. Which game catches your attention the most?
Well, the biggest one is the Monday night game between Seattle and San Francisco. It's a divisional game, and Russell Wilson is playing, you know, lights out right now. I think he has 21 touchdowns to maybe 3 interceptions. And then you look at what the 49ers want to do defensively. I mean, they're coming off an embarrassing Thursday night win against Arizona. They want a little get back, and Seattle is a great test for them because both teams, when you look at where they're ranked as far as rushing in the NFL, you know, both teams are pretty high up there. I mean, the 49ers are second in the league in rushing, and the Seahawks are seventh in the league. So something has to give, and it's a great test for both teams. The both coaching staffs, they know each other well. The last time we played, and we being 49ers when I coached there, we split the season record with them, you know, 1-1. But it was embarrassing when we went up to Seattle and they just kicked our butts. They just ran the ball down our throats. And I'm sure Robert Saleh, who spent some time in Seattle with Pete Carroll, he wants a little get back. I mean, most people think that coaches don't hold grudges, but they do. But I'm really intrigued by that game.
That's going to be a great matchup. I really struggled with that one in my pick'em. I didn't know who to pick. I mean, San Francisco's sitting there at 8-0, but they've had one of the easiest schedules in the NFL. I'm a huge Kyle Shanahan fan. It's very hard for me to ever pick against them. But they're going up against a Seattle team that at 7-2 are led by the current league MVP, Russell Wilson, just playing out of his mind right now. I did go with the 49ers. But it was a tough one. You took the 49ers, I assume.
Well, you know what? I haven't really, logged on my picks just yet.
Okay.
I'm still toying with it in my mind, and maybe by this evening.
Pick right
I will.
Now. Who are you taking?
I mean, you put me on the spot. I said I didn't think about it.
Nah, go ahead. Go ahead. You can do this.
All right. Okay, let's do it this way. Count.
You can think on your feet. You can do this.
Give me 3-2-1, and I'll tell you.
All right, 3-2-1.
49ers.
Okay.
All right, there it is.
Got it.
So now I have to go on my pick.
That was tough for you to figure out.
That was tough. How can I not go with a team that's 8-0 playing great defense and they can get after the quarterback?
I know.
Yeah.
All right. After that, we've got games like Minnesota at Dallas. That's Sunday night football. We got Carolina at Green Bay. We got Kansas City at Tennessee. Which one of those three games is going to be the most intriguing for you?
I want to say Kansas City because it's the return of Patrick Mahomes at 22 days after, you know, having that dislocated knee here in Denver. But I'm going to go with Minnesota Dallas because this is a big game for so many reasons. When you look at Dak Prescott, who has turned down some big contract offers from Dallas Cowboys, he's playing against a guy in Kirk Cousins who has a 3-year deal worth $84 million guaranteed. And if you're stating that, hey, I can turn down $40 million deal that Dallas offered to me early on in the season because I'm going to go out there and kick the butt of Kirk Cousins, now that's going to put Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys in somewhat of a conundrum. If you're saying that Dak Prescott, as a guy who's drafted in the fourth round, continue to play and put up the numbers that he's been putting up comparable to that of Carson Wentz, and then he goes out and he beats Kirk Cousins, how can you not give him a great contract? So this is a big game for Dak Prescott. That's why I want to see this one.
I'm not sure which one of these two teams is a legitimate contender in the NFC. My gut's telling me that it's Minnesota. Kirk Cousins is playing so well right now. He's earning that money finally for the Vikings. And that team just looks very complete. If Minnesota can go in and knock off Dallas, I'm buying them as legitimate NFC contenders.
Wow.
On the Ramos Lott text line, wow, D-Mac, love your takes today. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I am sitting in the big boy chair. I am sitting in D-Mac's chair. It's nice and toasty right now. Yeah, I feel a little bit shorter. I feel a little bit more insecure today.
You feel shorter?
Yeah, just sitting in this chair. There's something about this chair just makes me, you know, feel like a little bit more D-Mac-like.
Well, the part that bothered me, you said the seat was warm. That, I mean, indicated that maybe someone before you warmed it up. And usually when I think, you know, someone warming up the seat, it has to do with flatulence. So I'm just like, are you comfortable with that? You like that? You like bathing in someone else's flatulence?
No, not particularly. No. But yeah, something about just being in D-Mac's chair. Maybe it just makes you, maybe it's the chair that makes you insecure. What do you think?
You know what? Maybe it is the chair. I mean, you look okay sitting in the chair thus far.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Hey, there is an NFL trend out there right now. There's a lot of NFL trends that are getting discussed. This one, nobody is talking about it. What is it? We'll tell you coming up next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer of the Denver Broncos. Here's the drive.
time you got to get out of your system?
Yeah, man, this is Justin Timberlake, man. It's like it speaks to you when it comes on. It's like everything about you makes you want to dance. I mean, do you dance?
I don't, but I kind of want to right now.
Okay, well then, turn it up. Got time, but I don't mind.
You can check this out on the live stream right now if you would like. Nick does kind of have some moves. It looks very Michael Jackson-esque. I know you're into that. There it is. There's the moonwalk. So Sports Illustrated, they polled anonymous NFL executives about a multitude of things going on right now in the NFL. We're halfway through the season, and one of the more interesting questions that was asked: what trend is happening in the NFL that no one is talking about? Check out this answer. The most popular answer was the return of smash-mouth, run-first football teams finding success. The five best running teams in the league, they all have winning records. And the top three teams in the league, San Francisco, New England, and Baltimore, they're winning games by controlling the clock and dominating the line of scrimmage right now, Nick.
Take that, all you people who want to draft quarterbacks in the first round. Running backs still have value in this league.
Just not in the first round.
Come on. Just ask the New York Giants.
No. Hold on. You're on the right. You're going in the right direction. You just should have stuck with, like, a left tackle. You should have stuck with, like, dominating the line of scrimmage.
Well, I mean, in order to dominate line of scrimmage, it always starts in the trenches. So you have to have the linemen up front to pave the way for all these running backs. And if you look at each one of these teams, they've done a great job of retooling their offensive line. If you look at the San Francisco 49ers, Mike McGlinchey out, Joe Staley out. Now they were able to plug and play guys at their two tackle positions, and they were still able to run the ball with, you know, Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman. Now, the 49ers are in great situation because they're going to get both McGlinchey and Staley back. And they're running the ball the way that they did without those guys. It's definitely impressive. And yesterday we were talking about, you know, the possible MVPs for the season. And, you know, Russell Wilson's name came up. And I was just like, well, what about, you know, Christian McCaffrey? And you said, well, you know, Russell Wilson, he's a quarterback. But, yeah, Christian McCaffrey, he's a running back. And I'm just like, no, give the running back some love because you need to have balance. And even when in Seattle right now, if Russell Wilson didn't have Chris Carson, would he be the same in being able to do what he needs to do as a quarterback? So let's give these running backs some love.
Well, the good news for the Broncos is we've got two running backs. We've got one of the best duos in the entire NFL, and we do not have to address the running back position in the draft. So none of that applies to us, which is great because we don't have to concern ourselves with it. We got a lot of positions in which we've got glaring holes at. Running back is not one of them. I got a couple questions regarding just this trend that NFL execs are talking about. Number one, do you think that that's true? Do you think that you have to have a dominating run game in today's NFL to win games in the long run?
Well, I'm going to say no. And the reason why I say that is because it's not just a dominated run game. It's actually the ability to use running backs.
No.
No?
That wasn't the horn that I wanted. I wanted more of a like a really loud, aggressive horn. I don't like your answer.
Why not? I mean,
you have to have a running game.
Yes, but it's the ability to use the running backs in different ways. That's my whole idea. Yeah, you have to be able to run the ball. But a lot of these backs that are on this list for Houston, Dallas, Baltimore, Minnesota, San Francisco, they run between the tackles, but they do an excellent job of catching the ball out of the backfield. So that's why I say, well, it's not as cut and dry. Just say, well, you just need a guy that can run the ball. No, you need a guy who can catch the ball as well.
See, the thing is, even the teams that are kind of going towards this modern, new age type of offensive system where you've got mobile quarterbacks, you've got guys that are on the run, and you've got offensive linemen that are further spread out. Historically speaking, in college, you know, you don't play smash-mouth football. Well, even the teams that are not playing smash-mouth football, they've got an excellent running game because they pick up half their yardage with their quarterback's feet. So I absolutely think you have to be able to gain about half of your yardage on the ground in the long run if you're going to be successful. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be old school smash mouth football. It doesn't have to be the Dallas Cowboys with their 325-pound offensive linemen that are just trying to go north and south and move you off a spot by 3 yards. It can be spread out. It can be Cliff Kingsbury, but you have to get yards on the ground. Does this trend bode well for the Broncos? Our scheme, it's clearly a run-first scheme. We both know the West Coast offense. It's run, 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 play action. Run, play action. Run, run, play action. That's the way it's designed to be.
Well, yeah, and it definitely bodes well with the Broncos and what they want to do. I mean, you just talked about having both Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. Yeah, I mean, if you want to go out and get maybe a back late in the draft, yeah, you can do that. Because Devontae Booker, I mean, they used him a couple of plays in the Cleveland game. I mean, he showed that he still can run the ball, but not like Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. And here's something else that about these big stories and the way that the NFL is going right now. Some of the teams on this list, Houston, Dallas, and Baltimore, they all have something in common. And I know we talked about it, but it is having a mobile quarterback. So when you look at the trend where it's going, you have running backs that are a catalyst to you having success, especially in the NFL and in this offense. And watching Brandon Allen and what he was able to do last week that Joe Flacco didn't do, to me, you have to be happy. You have to be optimistic. The only problem is that we don't know if Drew Lock can actually do that. Now, if Drew Lock can show that he can throw the ball down the field, his foot mechanics are there, and he has a display of mobility, maybe not so much like Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, but he still can extend plays with his feet. I mean, we're almost right there where we need to be, are we not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this offense, you don't have to be overly athletic at quarterback. You just have to be athletic enough to be on the run. You have to be athletic enough to get out on a bootleg and be able to press the edge of a defense, make a corner commit to you, and then dump the ball over their head for a nice, easy touch pass, like we saw Brandon Allen do last week on that little lob pass he tossed out to Noah Fant. He did a great job with it. Certainly, you can have a super athletic quarterback, but generally speaking, the more athletic they become, the more committed to a zone read type of system you have to get. I don't think we need that. I think that Brandon Allen showed plenty of athleticism. We'll see how successful he can be over the next couple games. This is a big test going up against the Vikings. And Drew Lock certainly has enough athleticism to run this system. Not going to be an overly mobile guy, not going to be out there on the run like Lamar Jackson, but he's got plenty of wheels and plenty of speed to effectively run the bootleg scheme. So, look, let's hope that this trend bodes well for the Broncos, because West Coast football runs the ball better than any other scheme in the NFL. Where are we at in the AFC West right now, and what is the future of the AFC West? We'll talk about it coming up next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer of the Denver Broncos. Here's the drive.
All right, man. I need you to get in the time machine, take your head back to 2018, and tell me what new head coach in the NFL was getting made fun of the most, and it wasn't even close, for his new decision making.
All right, let me get back in my Back to the Future time machine.
Yeah. Doop, 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 yep. Doop, doop. 2018 destination.
Okay. That would be...
There were no flying cars.
No flying cars. No jet rockets.
But there was a Back to the Future moment going on, ironically.
Yes, there was. I didn't see Biff, but I did see a John Gruden.
Yes!
I did see a John Gruden.
Yes, you did.
And that silly-looking Chucky grin he has on his face.
Correct. You picked the right choice.
Yes!
That is exactly the coach I wanted you to say.
What did I win?
A pat on the back, and I won't make fun of you for a segment.
All right!
Yeah.
Yes, I'll take it.
Yeah. So, congrats.
This will be the only
segment we will ever do in which I don't make fun of you. So, enjoy this moment.
John
Gruden, 2018, comes in, trades away Khalil Mack, gets destroyed. I mean, destroyed by the media, right? Not even close. Nobody thought that that was a good decision. Later trades away Amari Cooper. He takes a first-round draft pick in Colton Miller, a left tackle in which a lot of people thought he was a project, and he really struggled in his first couple of years. Now he's actually playing decent football. I thought last night he looked terrible again, but overall he's playing decent football. Here's where I'm going with this. The Raiders tanked in the most obvious fashion that you could possibly tank. They did what the Miami Dolphins are doing right now, but they did it first. And Miami's doing it actually maybe even a little bit more successfully than the Raiders were at the time. But should the Denver Broncos be paying closer attention to what the Oakland Raiders did in 2018 and now look where they're at and where the direction that program is going?
Well, yeah, they should definitely pay attention to what the Oakland Raiders have done for this sole purpose. John Gruden and Mike Mayock, who is a first-time GM. He's been scouting players, evaluating players for years. I mean, we've heard his commentary, and they've been on the same page. So the Broncos can definitely take a page out of the Raiders' book in regards to that. Now, anything else as far as having a fire sale and, you know, getting rid of guys. We thought they were going to do that by the trade deadline. And Von Miller was one of those guys that his name actually came up, but I'm happy that the team didn't get rid of him. But I know it's really attractive to see what the Raiders did. They were able to get like three first round draft choices. Two of those draft choices, Farrell from Clemson and Josh Jacobs. I mean, those two guys are jumping off the page for them right now. But to me, it's about being on the same page and Mike Mayock and John Gruden having a plan, sticking to that plan. So if you're the Denver Broncos and you want to compete and continue to compete within this division, first have a plan and then follow through on that plan. No matter what anyone else thinks, no matter what we think, follow through on that plan. But that's been the only problem.
I mean, yeah, sometimes you got to break it down before you build it up, man. You know, when you get the directions and you start building without those directions and all of a sudden you're lost and you skip a step, the only way to get it right, to get that project right, that stupid IKEA table that you bought, you know, that thing that took you 3.5 hours to put together and it cost you $20, but in the long run, you wish you paid $100 for the one that was already put together. You know, sometimes when you get halfway in, you got to rip it all apart to start over, you know? You just start over.
You're absolutely right. And it was fun that you brought up something about those IKEA tables. Every time I put one of those things together, there's always a different screw or a peg that I'm just like, where does this thing go?
I know.
Where do you put it?
And then there's always extras. And you feel like, man, what did I mess up? Is my daughter's bed about to break? You know? My daughter's supposed to sleep on this bed. Why are there 12 extra screws and 12 extra pegs? I could get it if there were two extras, but 12 of them, this thing's going to fall over.
Your kid's screaming late at night, Dad, help me. You're running in there with a flashlight. You're trying to figure out what's going on. The kid is sunking in the bed.
Right. Well, you know what, honey? I'm going to toss this one in the trash, and I'm going to buy a new one. But before I do that, I might need to save up some money. I might need to get some capital, some draft capital. You know, you see where I'm going with this?
And that's exactly what the Broncos need to do. Don't try to patchwork fix this thing. Just look at it and say, just blow it up if you need to. Go out and get the right pieces with the right money. And you've already thrown money at Bryce Callahan and Juwan James, and those two guys hadn't panned out.
All right, well, we're past the trade deadline. So this might sound like a bunch of clamoring about nothing. What are we going to do at this point? You know, what are you going to sell? How are we going to start over? Well, there is a situation that this applies towards, you know, and applies directly towards the quarterback position. We have a giant gaping hole at quarterback, okay? And Brandon Allen, I'm excited about what he put out there. I want to see more of it. But no, I'm not sold that Brandon Allen's going to be the quarterback of the future for the Denver Broncos. Look, good luck. I hope you can go earn it, man. But not sold on it. I also happen to have a second rounder on my team that has not practiced, has not been on the field, has not played in a game. And he may or may not be the answer at quarterback, but I dang sure have to find out. I dang sure need to find out if I really do need to buy that new bed You know, do I really need to get that new quarterback? The only way to find out is once you put it together and you see if the thing works or not.
Yeah, that same thing goes for a mattress. You have to really lie on it for a while and roll around and sleep on it to know if it fits you. And if it doesn't, you throw it out with yesterday's trash and you go get another one.
Right.
And with Drew Lock, I'm on board. The idea of that, you have to see who he is as a quarterback. Now, does that mean that you start him right after the bye? No. I was always on record as saying the last two games, I feel as though will be enough to give you a sample size of who he is as a player. And you're playing against both Detroit and the Oakland Raiders, who are both quality teams. So that would be an excellent amount of time for him to understand the offense, Scangarello to scheme something up for him so he can be successful. Because John Elway has already said, you know, he wants this guy to be successful. That's why he's not really playing right now, because he doesn't feel that he's ready. So if that's the case, hold him out. You know, almost like your redshirt year. You held out for a while so you get enough experience under your belt, and then they toss you out there and see what you could do.
All right, look, I got caught up thinking about IKEA and all those screws and the 3-4 hour projects that I've done trying to put that furniture together, and I did not pay off the tees, but I want to. I want to talk about where are the Broncos in the AFC West right now, where are these other teams, and what is really the current sit rep of the AFC West, and we will talk about that coming up next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer of the Denver Broncos. Here's the drive.
All right. Chiefs got Patrick Mahomes. Probably going to extend him when the offseason's over, I would assume. Maybe they'll wait. What do you think? Do you think the Chiefs are going to extend Patrick Mahomes right away?
Of course.
Right.
Andy Reid is not that stupid to allow Patrick Mahomes to hit free agency. But when you have a top player, no matter what position he plays, on your team, and you know he has an expiring contract, it could be a year remaining or 2 years, you go ahead and extend that guy. Why wait? What more do you really need to know?
Did you get a little nervous there?
About what?
During the break?
Oh, no.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah, you should have heard the conversation we were having.
Nah, I meant when the bumper music started playing and I wasn't quite in the room yet. Did you get a little nervous?
Well, no, I saw you walk in and then I hit my on button and I was about to say something.
What would you have done?
I would have actually brought the audience into our conversation we had in the break about the Broncos quarterbacks and how, if we were to relate to them in a dating situation, how would we classify them? Because the idea is, when we look at the quarterbacks that we've had.
Well, that's an interesting one. And I thought, you know what, let's do that. But
okay.
But let's pay this one off first.
Okay. All right.
So Chiefs are going to, they're going to give him a new deal.
Of course. Why not?
Probably this offseason.
Yes, he's an Uber quarterback. He's
correct.
A unicorn that you know, you and D-Mac talk about.
Correct. The Raiders have successfully tanked, and it looks like they are well on track to a highly competitive football team. Matter of fact, I think when this season is all said and done, John Gruden is going to be in the running for Coach of the Year. I don't think he's going to earn it. I think Kyle Shanahan has earned that. But there's going to be people discussing John Gruden and the job that he did with the Oakland Raiders. So you've got the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. They just got him extended, I'm assuming, in the scenario. The Raiders have successfully tanked. John Gruden has turned it into a competitive football team. And the Chargers, they, going into this season, had the most stacked team in the AFC West. Top to bottom, if you looked at every single starter at every single position, the Chargers had the most stacked team in the AFC West. Now, like always, like every single year, the Chargers have all the hype in the world, and they never live up to him. Is that a Phillip Rivers problem? Maybe. Maybe it's a Phillip Rivers problem. And along with that, Phillip Rivers is 38 years old, in a contract season. Not entirely sure what they're going to do, but I know this. Regardless of Phillip Rivers, the Chargers have an extremely talented defensive core in particular. That front seven is tremendous. And talent-wise, they've got talent all over the place if they can stay healthy. Well, so where does that leave the Denver Broncos?
Well, that leaves the Denver Broncos, I would say, in not the that ideal place, but I still say it's a great place because you look at the team as a whole. They're very young. And that leaves a lot of upside for me because you're talking about the Chargers, and we'll start there. You have an aging quarterback in Phillip Rivers. You have a great defense. You have some core offensive weapons. Your offensive line, more importantly, your left and right tackle. I mean, they played awful last night. So if you're the Denver Broncos, you say, well, what are our major issues? You look at not having the quarterback position solidified, needing a couple of pieces along the offensive line, and a couple of wide receivers here and there. Your defense is pretty much intact. You can go out in free agency in 2020 and in the draft and pick up some more pieces to add more depth. So I like where the Denver Broncos are right now because you're on the upswing. You're going to catch a couple of these teams on a downswing. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is coming off a kneecap, dislocated kneecap. And I see the Chiefs extending him, but still at the same time looking at their defense. Their defense, even though they beat the Denver Broncos, I don't look at their defense as being the elite defense in the league, right? So with the Broncos, looking at the formula to win in the NFL and win a championship, play great defense, run the ball, right? Our missing items are offensive line and the quarterback. Okay. You can fix that in 2020. You're sitting great if you're John Elway and the Denver Broncos, are you not?
You get those two items, all we need. What are our desperation spots? It's quarterback. It's left tackle.
Right guard.
Right guard is not desperation, but it is a need. Center, Connor McGovern, he's up at the end of the year, right? I'm pretty sure Connor McGovern's up at the end of the year. So you'll have to make a decision there if you want to re-sign him or not. You could bring in a center through the draft and put Connor at guard.
There you go.
Or you could just leave Connor in his same position, extend him, or you let him go. But point being, you've got a desperation need at left tackle. You've got a desperation need at quarterback. You've got a need at interior offensive line, whether that's a center, whether that's a guard, whatever it might be. It is a need, not desperation. On defense, the crazy thing is, even with Isaac Yiadom failing, even with Bryce Callahan not stepping on the field yet as a Denver Bronco, I don't think we have a desperation need on defense.
No, I don't know. It doesn't, but it starts with being able to bring a couple of guys back. So that means that you have to find a way to get a deal done with Chris Harris Jr. You have to definitely extend Justin Simmons.
Yeah, you're right. Chris Harris, that's a desperation re-signing, right?
Yes.
That has to be a priority. That's got to be in the same category as a desperation.
Well, I would say desperation. Just say priority.
Well, without Chris Harris, though, I mean, what do you got? Seriously. What do you got without Chris Harris?
A bunch of guys.
Right. That puts that in the exact same category as desperation. Like, well, you have to get him back.
Yeah, you have to. But I like what the team has done over the season and bringing in Duke Dawson, who has shown that he can play. And Devontae Harris, I've definitely been, you know, surprised by the way that he plays defense. He's aggressive. It's like he's taking on that same type of mentality that Chris Harris is taking on. But still, let's talk about priorities. Signing a guy like Justin Simmons. Now, you're not going to make him the highest paid safety, you know, in the league, but you definitely have to find a way to bring him back because Coach Fangio has definitely spoke volumes about Justin Simmons and what he thinks of him as a player. And knowing as though he had Eddie Jackson in Chicago, Justin Simmons is not Eddie Jackson, but he can be Eddie Jackson-like. So if the Broncos are able to plug in a couple and fix a couple of pieces on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball, I don't think they're too far behind the other teams in the AFC West now.
Okay, so they get quarterback, they get left tackle, some way, somehow. I don't know how they get both those accomplished in the same offseason. I really don't, because there's no free agent left tackles. And in reality, although there's five big names that are going to be free agents at the quarterback spot, there's really not any quarterbacks to go sign outside of Teddy Bridgewater. He is a legitimate option. I will give you that. And I will not be like super mad or anything if they go get him. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I don't want him as the future of my franchise. But if they did it, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. So without any free agents at left tackle, without any free agents at quarterback, I don't see how you address them both. I mean, you would have to address them both in the first round, which is going to mean you got to give up your entirety of your draft to get two first round draft picks.
Yeah, I mean, with that frame of mind, yeah, you have to do that. But if your plan is to, and it involves Teddy Bridgewater, you get your veteran quarterback. And you can just say, well, he's your bridge quarterback until maybe Drew Lock is ready. And maybe that's all what Drew Lock needs, just more time to develop. It's not that he's just a bad quarterback. He just needs more development. And we've seen quarterbacks in this league sit for a couple of years, and we've seen – you know, Aaron Rodgers sat for a couple years behind Brett Favre until he was ready. Maybe that's what Drew Lock actually needs. So Teddy Bridgewater is not a bad idea. So now that you get your quarterback in free agency, now you go in the draft. Right.
All right. Well, there is one more quarterback that's out there. There are a lot of national pundits that are picking up on this guy and connecting the dots to the Denver Broncos. And yesterday, former Denver Bronco Shannon Sharp had this to say about one particular quarterback.
He better than Tannehill. He better than Mariota. Yep. He better.
Let me back up. He's talking about Cam Newton in this clip.
He better than Tannehill. He better than Mariota. Yep. He better than Flacco. He's better than what they got in Denver. He's better than Trubisky.
Yep.
And Chase Daniel. He's better than those. There are three teams right there.
Okay.
That if Cam Newton is on the open market, they should be first in line.
Would you take a shot?
Absolutely. I would take a shot.
And you know what?
Hell, I called John Elway in Denver, who's running it. Hey, bro, look at Cam.
Take a shot.
Do it.
Look, this is a couple days in a row now of guys on Fox Sports, and they both came off Fox Sports FS1, in which they are clamoring for Cam Newton to become the quarterback of the Denver Broncos. Are we missing something on this one, Nick?
No, we're not missing anything. And I understand why they're saying that, because they're looking at what Cam was before this year, what he was able to do against the Broncos, against, you know, to leading up into Super Bowl 50. So that's what they're talking about. But it's just like, well, you don't know what version of Cam Newton you're going to receive, right? Coming off of a foot injury, shoulder injury. I mean, does he really fit what you want to do? And I still don't think that he does. But has he been a talented player in this league for a number of years? Absolutely. But does that skill set actually translate to what Scangarello wants to do with this offense? And I don't think it does.
Does the skill set transfer? What is the skill set? That's what I would ask all these guys. What is the skill set? I don't even know what we're talking about transferring. Did we watch Cam Newton at the beginning of the year? Maybe Cam Newton has just been, there's been something so wrong physically for so long right now that he just has not been able to play football. But the Cam Newton I watched this year, that's a dude that I do not want as the quarterback of the Denver Broncos. Now, schematically, could you make it work with Cam Newton of the old? Well, not directly like as this system lies today. No, you could not. You would have to apply plenty of wrinkles. You would have to commit to a zone read type of scheme. You would have to commit to running your quarterback more than you're truly comfortable with running him. And you would have to commit to not passing from the pocket. Okay, is that all doable? Ironically, I've been a part of it. I've been a part of the Washington Redskins with Mike Shanahan and this exact scheme, changing our scheme entirely for our quarterback and Robert Griffin. Now, I'm not out here advocating for this. I certainly do not want Cam Newton to be our quarterback. I do not believe that he is capable of leading an NFL team to the Super Bowl ever again. But in theory, yes, you could make his skill set work in this offense.
So tell me this. I mean, you played in Washington with the same offense in RG3, who was considered a mobile quarterback. How did that change things for you guys up front blocking when he decided to, you know, break and escape the pocket?
How would it change things? Like as far as how I'm blocking guys? Or what do you mean?
But blocking guys, because usually, I mean,
it made my life a living hell. It did. I mean, seriously, it was. incredibly difficult to block for Robert.
What made it so difficult?
Because his pocket awareness was not good at the time. And I like Robert, the human being, and he was tremendous for us as a football player in his rookie year. But as time progressed, man, he would fall off into sacks left and right. We did not play with tempo. We had no rhythm whatsoever. And, you know, quite frankly, it was debilitating as an offensive line because if you block your guy for 10 seconds, it didn't matter. You could still give up a sack. So it was an incredibly difficult thing to do. KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver. All right. Think you want to belt something out with this?
The first thing I was going to jump into was Chris Farley's dance. It just took me back.
See, the thing about your particular skill sets is that I do admit that you have rhythm, and I do admit that you could outdance me any day of the week. No question about it. It's just that particular skill set, it doesn't translate well with our current medium.
Well, I mean, if people are watching, you know, they can actually see the both of us, and they can see me bust a move.
So I'm looking more for, like, your vocal skill sets.
Oh, well, you can forget about that.
Yeah, me too.
No. No. You'll never catch me at some karaoke bar singing any of these songs that we listen to. No, not my forte.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
You've never done karaoke?
No, I've watched it take place, but I've never, you know, joined in. I don't have those vocal cords. I don't.
You never been to Sushi Zanmai in Boulder?
Man, I'm not a sushi guy. A
little sake and karaoke?
Oh, man. If I'm going to a sushi place, you better make sure it's fried or something. I like it to be warmed up. I can't eat anything like raw, like, what is it, ahi tuna. Like, I can't eat that.
Wait. Hold on. You don't like raw, but you don't like processed food either, right?
No, I don't really care for it.
So where's the happy medium?
I don't know, man. I mean, give me some, I guess, organic food any day.
Organic.
Yes.
I like it.
Stay away from the microwave, though.
From the earth. Yeah. Yes. If anybody was curious, when Nick says stay away from the microwave, he means that in the most literal sense. He will not, and matter of fact, has never eaten food out of a microwave. Is that correct?
No. I have.
Oh, you have?
In my adolescence.
When? Adolescence.
Yes. Once I started paying for my own food, no.
So how many years has it been since you've had something out of a microwave?
It's been about, I don't know, 20 years?
20 years.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you
I don't even know how that is physically possible to go 20 years without eating food out of a microwave.
No, I have a microwave, but we don't use it. It's just decorative.
Do your kids or does your wife eat food out of a microwave?
No.
No.
Oh.
Now, is that like a law that you put down? Like if you live in the Ferguson home, you will not eat food out of microwave?
Absolutely. That's rule number one.
Did your wife eat food out of microwave before she met you?
I believe she did. But once we got together, we started, you know, doing our own personal research. And we just felt as though that was personal research.
On microwaves?
Yes, on microwave.
Educate me.
Well, the idea is that when you put food in the microwave, it heats faster, but the molecules of the food, they change. I mean, it's not it on the surface, when you look at it from an optic standpoint, you know, those Hungry Man dinners, it's still a Hungry Man dinner, even with the dessert. But something has changed with the food's molecular structure.
What about, like, I got soup. Like, my wife had homemade chicken noodle soup. It was delicious last night.
Put it in a pot.
It was easier to just warm it up for 10 seconds.
No, I am man. I have fire. That's how you warm it up.
So what happens to my soup when I put it in the microwave?
It looks the same. It's nice and steaming. It's boiling, but
it becomes hot soup.
It is hot soup.
That's exactly what happens to it.
That's been in the microwave.
Yeah.
Right? But you get the same product, just sticking it in the oven. You can stick it in the toaster oven, or in this case with soup, stick it in the pot.
So what happens to the molecular structure of my food when it goes in the microwave?
Well, it's, I can't get, I don't know all the technical words for it, but it changes.
Hold on now.
It's different.
You did the personal research on microwaves.
Yes.
And I'm curious what the personal research says.
It says that food that you put in the microwave, it does change, and it is not the same food as it was when it first went in. It looks the same, but, I mean, you feel as though you're eating maybe a hot dog.
Yes.
But that hot dog is
not a hot dog anymore?
No, it's not. It's like a
what does it become?
A hot dog from The Simpsons. You know that nuclear plant that they have, like Springfield.
Yeah
it becomes one of those.
Do I get radiation?
Slightly. You get a percentage of it. You know, so
well, there's your microwave education from Nick Ferguson. We are all in trouble. Apparently, my family in particular, I'll tell you that much. We are in trouble. I don't know. Let's hope that the Kansas City Chiefs use the microwave.
Yes.
What games are catching your attention this weekend?
Well, speaking of Kansas City, I love that game because Patrick Mahomes is making his triumphant comeback after 22 days of having a dislocated knee. So Matt Moore had an opportunity to go in and show us what he can do, but now he's been put back on the back burner. Now Patrick Mahomes now can come out and assume the helm as a quarterback and really get this offense up and running the way that we thought it was going to be coming into 2019. So I love that matchup against Tennessee because, you know, let's be totally honest. Ryan Tannehill, I mean, we heard Shannon Sharp say that Cam Newton's better than Ryan Tannehill. So do we expect, with Patrick Mahomes coming back, that the Tennessee Titans somehow, some way, will upset Kansas City? I don't see that happening.
No chance.
No chance.
Although I do respect the way that Ryan Tannehill has taken over that team. I really respect it. Marcus Mariota was playing terrible. They still can't beat Kansas City. No chance. Andy Reid announced today that Patrick Mahomes will start, which was just 22 days after he dislocated his kneecap. How is that possible?
They call it modern medicine. Maybe they put him in
a microwave.
That's the thing. The other thing. Took him to the airport and put him in one of those little things, the security things.
He's gonna mutate.
Yes.
He's gonna mutate.
That's what happens. Mutated knee.
Gosh.
Know what that means now? That we're gonna have a more impressive Patrick Mahomes because of mutation.
Oh, so the food gets better in the microwave.
What? If you like it, mutate it.
yes. It becomes better. It becomes hotter. New York Giants, New York Jets, who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Who cares? Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold. Would have been a cool storyline if Sam Darnold was playing good football. Buffalo at Cleveland. Any intrigue in this one?
No intrigue in this one. To me, Freddie Kitchens is still trying to get things back on track with the Browns, and we don't know what's going on with Baker Mayfield, but I truly believe when you go from being an offensive coordinator to assuming duties as a head coach, your game planning changed. And I think that's what's happening with Freddie Kitchens. He needs to step back, take a look at his game plan from last year when the team was successful, and try to implement a little of that. And maybe having Odell Beckham Jr. there, who's a very talented wide receiver, maybe that's put him in a difficult situation trying to find ways to spread the ball to all these different guys. I mean, it's a great problem to have, but Cleveland, man, I mean, coming into the season, did you really think that they would perform this poorly?
Not this poorly, but I am on record as predicting that they would not go to the playoffs. I am on record as predicting that I thought that they would only get a maximum of 6 wins. So I did not buy the hype. I thought that they were way too far ahead of themselves. I thought that Baker Mayfield was talking way too much noise. I thought that they had not earned anything. And I thought that they hired a coach that was the wrong coach to hire. I thought that they should have retained Greg Williams, who was doing a great job in the interim. Yet they went with Freddie Kitchens. And so I can't say that I'm actually overly surprised. Obviously, that roster is tremendous. And it is an utter travesty what they are doing out there. I mean, an absolute travesty that you could have that much talent on one football team and, you know, scrape together 2 wins out of your first 8 games. That is disgusting. It's a failure, and, you know, jobs should be had for it. Freddie Kitchens, he should lose his job over this performance.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's...
He should lose his job.
Why?
And matter of fact, like I wouldn't even judge him if they fired him mid-season.
Wow.
He has allowed that noise to go on. He allowed Baker Mayfield to create a distraction for his team. He allowed Odell Beckham Jr. To go out there in cleats that he almost got benched for the remainder of the game unless he changed them. He allowed Odell Beckham Jr. to wear that $300,000 watch and create noise on the field. He allowed all of this to go on, and the only thing he has not done is coach football.
You make those statements as if there's no one else in that building that has a responsibility of making sure some of these things didn't happen. Because, I mean, John Dorsey, did he not, you know, go and get guys like Jarvis Landry?
Oh, John Dorsey, oh boy. John Dorsey is on the other end of this spectrum. That dude is as secure in his job as you could possibly be.
Why is he secure and Freddie Kitchens?
He accumulated
isn't.
Odell Beckham Jr. He accumulated Jarvis Landry. He brought in Baker Mayfield. He brought in all of these guys. I mean, this is the most superstar-laden team in the entire NFL. John Dorsey's only job is to accumulate talent. He doesn't coach. He doesn't come up with scheme. He doesn't handle the noise that's going on in the locker room. He doesn't even speak to the team. GMs don't speak to the football team. His only job is the accumulation of talent.
But isn't it his responsibility as well when he's going to accumulate this talent, looking to see if they fit what you're trying to do in the locker room? I mean, these guys that you're talking about, they've all done something.
Nope, that's the head coach's job.
So no responsibility goes on the GM?
For what's going on out there? No.
Wow.
Wait, what do you mean? What would the GM be responsible for?
Well, when you go out and you look to acquire a guy, okay, you look at his athletic ability. You look at, does he fit the locker room culture? Is he going to bring some kind of leadership value, or is he going to take away? Saying, okay, we're looking at Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. Two strong guys, you know, alpha males, and, you know, they prima donnas, as though we've seen wide receivers in years past. So you go out and get these guys and say, well, listen, I know these guys have been problem childs for other teams that they're coming from, but now I'm going to give them to you. Now you have to handle them. I mean, to me, that's not responsible enough.
Who was a problem child that he brought in?
Well, Jarvis Landry had his issues in Miami.
OBJ, you could say. Jarvis, what did Jarvis Landry have?
Well, Jarvis Landry, when the ball wasn't coming to him like most receivers do, he got upset in Miami. That's why Miami had to get him about it.
Tell me a receiver that you ever been around that didn't do that.
Rod Smith never did that.
Because the ball came to him. You think Rod Smith wouldn't have been mad if the ball didn't come to him?
Rod Smith.
I know Rod Smith very, very well. I'm going to tell you right now.
He wouldn't have reacted the way that Odell or maybe Landry.
I agree with what you're saying there.
But I do understand the fact of what you're saying, that it's not solely, you know, John Dorsey's job to hold the hands of the players.
Exactly. He doesn't talk to the players. He doesn't have community. Tell me a GM that you had that addressed the football team.
I've never had a GM address the football team.
Okay. Tell me a GM that you had that came up with the discipline rules for who would get in trouble for what they did.
Well, I've never seen that as a player, but in my time in San Francisco, I did see something take place where John Lynch addressed the team, and then after a loss in the locker room where there were some guys who were having some issues, he addressed those guys in the locker room. Now,
up until
that point, I have never really, you know, encountered that.
I've seen John Elway in the locker room addressing guys, particularly quarterbacks. Matter of fact, I've seen it often. I've seen John Elway talking to the quarterbacks many, many times after the game. So certainly GMs communicate with players. That was a poor way of me to say that. But what I meant by that is like addressing the team as a whole. You know what I mean? So anyways, in my mind, John Dorsey, man, he's off the hook. He's done an unbelievable job. I would fire Freddie Kitchens. Would you fire him?
I wouldn't fire him, man. I would give him, you know, another year because it troubles me when NFL teams do this, and the Browns have done this, you know, consecutively. This has kind of been their lather, rinse, and repeat type of cycle. And when things don't go wrong, when things go bad, we start looking at, okay, well, who can we point the finger at? Instead of saying, okay, well, what could I as an individual or what could we have done collectively to make the situation so much better? Because here in Denver, I mean, the first part of the season when the team wasn't doing well, what happened? People were saying, well, fire Coach Fangio, fire Rich Scangarello. Well, Mike Munchak was brought here to change things with the offensive line. It doesn't seem like things have changed because Garrett Bowles is still doing the same thing. I just don't that philosophy, I don't like it. Because if you continue to fire coaches without giving them an opportunity to do their job and just try to change things from the way that they are now, to me, you're constantly in that cycle. When does the cycle ever stop? Right? You have to give someone an opportunity to correct the wrongs.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, sometimes when it's bad enough, you move on. It's kind of what I was talking about earlier with the IKEA example in my mind. When you know the bed doesn't work, when you know it's going to fall apart, you buy a new one. You know, you start over. Sometimes you can't salvage it. Sometimes you just got to throw it in the trash. That's my opinion. Let's talk about a few more of these games. We've got Baltimore and Cincinnati. Clearly not going to be an interesting football game.
Not at all. Not at all. Going to be a Lamar Jackson show.
Man, Lamar Jackson.
Talk about, you know, a guy just turning his season around.
Well, did he? I mean,
yeah,
he kind of did this last year, though.
But last year, no one thought that he can play the quarterback position.
From the pocket.
He's just a running back playing quarterback. But he's made some great decisions this season, right? Throwing the ball, trying to become more of a pocket passer, only running when the defense breaks down and there's an opportunity to extend plays. So like a Russell Wilson. And to go out and beat a team like the Patriots the way that he did, you know, coming off a week where he did the same thing to Seattle, that was really impressive.
Who's been the most impressive quarterback to you in a surprising way this year?
The most impressing quarterback.
Impressive would have been a better way for you to say
okay.
That was on me.
All right, impressive quarterback this season. I'll have to stick with Lamar Jackson. Because once again,
but were you surprised by it? I was surprised by it.
No, I was a little because I didn't expect him to change his game this much in a short period of time. I thought it would take him a little longer to mature as a quarterback. But once again, this is why Baltimore decided, hey, listen, this is the direction that we're going. We're going to put Joe Flacco on the back burner and we're going to put, you know, Lamar Jackson in. Let him take his lumps. So maybe looking at Baltimore's, you know, success, even though Drew Lock and Lamar Jackson are not the same quarterback, maybe John Elway should take a page out of their book.
I think you missed the layup.
What was the layup?
Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, Jacoby Brissett. Yeah, no, Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett.
You missed the layup.
Well, you know what?
Although Lamar Jackson, look, man, to me, I would put myself in the category of that's the most, he is one of the most surprising in an impressive manner. I did not think he could play from the pocket. I was wrong. I mean, help me in the Bill Polian factory, you know? I judged him based off of his skill set, and I did not think it was going to translate to the NFL, and I was wrong.
Shame on you.
Yep. And clearly that dude can play from the pocket. Clearly that dude can run an NFL team. Clearly he can lead you towards the promised land. Jacoby Brissett, though, I don't think anybody thought the Colts could be as competitive as they are right now when Andrew Luck retired.
Well, you didn't think that knowing as though when Jacoby Brissett was with the Patriots, he showed us flashes that he had that talent where he could lead a team if he had the right pieces around him.
No, I've loved Jacoby Brissett for a long, long time. And look, he's played football for the Colts and looked really good before this season. You know, so I'm not surprised that Jacoby Brissett is a capable quarterback. But given the distraction of losing Andrew Luck to a total shock and awe retirement in the middle of preseason, like not the middle, wasn't that like 4 days before day one?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it was like 4 days before opening day, and your franchise quarterback, one of the best prospects of all time coming out of college, abruptly retires, and Jacoby Brissett has to take over that noise and really lead a team in which everybody had given up on him.
Well, that speaks volumes to, you know, that organization, Chris Ballard, Frank Reich, and Jacoby Brissett himself, to be prepared to take over. Like you said, that happened in the preseason game right before the regular season actually start. And if you're a backup, if you're not thinking that, oh, wow, I'm going to be day one starter, now I have to leave this team and I'm prepared to do it, that can take you off guard. But, I mean, Jacoby was ready. I mean, he knew he was ready ever since he was with the New England Patriots. It was just about opportunity. That's all you needed was opportunity. He's taking advantage of his opportunity. He's making the most of it.
You got Carolina, Green Bay. Pretty interesting matchup. Carolina's 5-3. Green Bay's 7-2. Green Bay's coming off a tough loss. Panthers win. It would go a long ways towards getting them back into that playoff picture. You think Carolina can pull that one off?
It's going to be tough, but anything is possible, especially, you know, knowing how Christian McCaffrey has been running the ball and knowing that he's been a catalyst for that offense. But just think about this. For Kyle Allen, the way that he came into this league and now he is, you know, the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, he no longer at this point have to look over his back because Cam Newton's on IR. So based on all of that, and you have Kyle Allen who will be like, I guess he will dedicate himself a little more to this craft, not saying that he hasn't, but not having to look over your shoulder, maybe he goes out and has one of his best games as a pro.
Maybe. And now we're down to the best two games of the weekend. Two games that I will have my eyes on, and I will not take my eyes off the game. It's Sunday Night Football, and it's Monday Night Football. That's Minnesota Vikings at 6-3 against the Dallas Cowboys, who are 5-3. And then on Monday Night Football, you got the Seattle Seahawks at 7-2 against the San Francisco 49ers, who are 8-0. That is big-time football right there.
Well, yeah, that is big-time football. And, I mean, I don't know how you feel as an offensive lineman, but as a defensive guy who love to smash opposing teams of run games, I mean, you get two of the best runners in the league in Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott, you know, playing on that Sunday night game. And I know Zeke has come out and he said that he feels as though there's a lot of running backs who have received more touches in the offense than he has. So he's a little upset about that. So I'm expecting a great day on the ground from both of these running backs for sure.
If the Minnesota Vikings beat the Cowboys, they are, in my mind, the top contender in the NFC. I think they are coming on so incredibly strong. Kirk Cousins is finally earning that contract. Kirk Cousins is, matter of fact, probably earning more than that contract at this given moment. Now, he's got to continue that, and I understand there's a lot of people out there that are not Kirk Cousins believers. And quite frankly, the performance you got out of him last year, I understand why. I mean, it did not look good. And even early this season, Kirk Cousins did not look good. Then all that drama went down, and Kirk Cousins, he started approaching the media in a different manner. And he had an edge to him, and he was tough with the media. And Kirk Cousins is like Mr. Nice Guy, and I think that whatever was going on, that is translated onto the field. It's translated into the way that he's controlling that football team, and they're going up against a really good team in the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know if they will pull it off, but if they do, they're going to be in that top category as contenders in the NFC in my mind.
So you're putting them in with a win on Sunday night against Dallas over Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints.
Did I say they are the top or in the category of the top? If I said the top, that's not what I intended.
Okay.
I believe I said they will be in the category of the top contenders, plural. So, no, I'm not choosing them directly over the Saints. No, I'm not choosing Kirk Cousins over Drew Brees. But, yes, I think they're in that conversation. And, yes, I think that it could be either one of those teams.
Well, you know, that wouldn't be bad company considering the fact that Kirk Cousins has started to look decent as of late. He has offensive weapons. And as long as you can turn around and hand the ball to Dalvin Cook to take the pressure off of you, I mean, what quarterback wouldn't want that? So, you know what? Maybe you're speaking a little truth to power right there. And We'll just have to see what happens on Sunday night against Dallas to see if they can put themselves in that upper echelon in, within the conference.
I know we've talked about Drew Lock a lot here lately. There's reasons why we're talking about Drew Lock a lot. A lot of reasons why we're talking about Drew Lock a lot. However, Nick, you've got an angle on Drew Lock that I don't think anybody has really brought up yet. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.